Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Mark Martin.
And I'm Ed Short.
And we're happy you're with us here this evening. This is Sunday, November 2nd, 2025. And if you're late, it's because the clocks went back an hour. Then you're not hearing this if you're an hour late. But yeah, here in Virginia, our clocks went the other direction. We fall back. This is early. I guess they say this is early. I wish we'd get rid of that whole thing.
Yeah.
You know, my wife and I, we were in Arizona. They don't change their time.
I don't think Indiana does either.
Okay, Indiana doesn't. And I don't think Hawaii does either. Okay. But it would be really nice, because this throws me, Ed. Whenever the time changes, it messes with my clock internally.
Yeah, right.
But anyway, we're really glad to be here this evening, and we're glad you all are with us. We hope that you get a blessing from this program each and every week. We want to thank Ray Powers for keeping us on the air all of these years and all of the things he does behind the scenes that nobody sees, but it's a lot to keeping this network going each week. He has his own program that he does, and there's a lot of people he has to deal with, including me and Ed, and that's not that easy.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's really good to be here and to be able to open God's Word and just read from it and just learn what the plan of salvation is all about.
Right.
To learn how much God loves us, that He sent His Son, that He didn't just leave us here. He didn't just create us. Sin came and then just left us alone. He made a way out.
And gave us hope.
Yeah, we're going to talk some about that today. But before we do, Ed, tell us a little bit about this ministry, if you don't mind.
Well, we're located in Stanton, Virginia, 1743 West Beverly Street. We have our services on Wednesday evening at 7:30 for...
Seven.
I'm thinking our Sabbath school is at 9:30.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, we have a Wednesday night meeting, which is available via Zoom for prayer time and Bible study. And on Sabbath, Saturday, the seventh day of the week, we have a Bible study at 9:30, and then we have our worship hour at 11.
Okay. And if you would like to participate, you can either live stream the Sabbath school and the worship service on prophecyhope.com. If you happen to miss those lectures, or you'd like to tune into a lecture or see them, there are lots of sermons there that you can tune into. You can type in the topic. There are many, many topics. Also, if you would like to join us via Zoom for Sabbath School, you can participate by doing scripture reading. You might want to comment. You might have a question. And you can do the same thing on Wednesday nights. Ed, if somebody wants to contact you and get that Zoom link, how do they reach you?
You can reach me, Ed, at prophecyhope.com.
Or you can reach me, Mark, at prophecyhope.com. If you can't remember our names, office at prophecyhope.com will get you through. And just give us... We don't always get to our emails each and every day, because we do have other things that we do. And just give us a day or two to reply to any messages you might send. And I'm not a very good emailer. I reply, but my replies are usually pretty quick because I don't type too well. And I'm a very verbal person. I don't type. I don't text very well. My texts are always really short. I like the thumbs up and the smiley faces and stuff like that. But so let me see, Ed, is there anything else, any other business we need to take care of here?
I don't think so.
Before we get started. All right. Would you pray for us, please?
Sure. Let's go ahead and bow our heads. Father in heaven, again, we're thankful for this time where we can come together to open your word, the Bible. And Father, as we study today, give us understanding and wisdom and knowledge to apply what we learned today to our lives, the way of salvation you provided through your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we ask that you guide us by the Spirit of truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. So, Ed, last week we talked about escaping from the prison house of Satan.
Right.
He puts us in a prison house. He wants to hold us hostage. And we actually, it was called The Escape.
Right.
And how do we, just let's talk about that for a minute. How do we get out of this hold that Satan wants to have on every single person? How do we do that? How do people get to the point where I want to get out of this prison house? What's the first thing I would do if I had to make that choice?
Well, let's go to John chapter 3.
Okay.
And Jesus tells us the beginning of this in his conversation with a man named Nicodemus.
Uh-huh.
So let's go ahead and read verses 1 through 7.
Okay. Are you reading that or am I reading that?
Why don't you go ahead and read that?
Okay, here we go. This is John chapter 3. I'm going to begin in verse 1. This is the New King James Bible. It says, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, 'Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, and no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him.' Jesus answered and said to him, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.' Nicodemus said to him, 'How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?' Jesus answered, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again.'"
So here we have this understanding about being born again. You know, oftentimes in the Christian world, you hear people say, "I've been saved, I've been born again."
Right.
And so Jesus is talking about being born again as being born of water and of the Spirit. Now, a few weeks ago, we studied about John the Baptist and his baptism and Jesus and the baptism of Jesus.
Right.
We found that John the Baptist baptized with water, a baptism of repentance and forgiveness of sins, confession of sins. So that's the first part Jesus is talking about, being born of water. And being born of Spirit, we learn that John baptized with water, but Jesus baptizes with the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
All right. And we saw that occur on the day of Pentecost when Jesus received the promise of the Father from his Father, that promise of the Spirit, and Jesus shed it abroad.
Okay.
He's the one that gave them the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost.
Okay. So Nicodemus here, he's curious about this. He comes to Jesus. It was at night because he was a Pharisee. He was afraid of what the other Pharisees might think.
There was good reason to be afraid because, if you remember the story about the man with the withered hand, they cast him out of the synagogue. They cast him out of the church because he believed in Jesus.
Sure. So here here's the point I want to make with this. I've heard, you know, unfortunately, in this world that we live in, there's a lot of dysfunction, and there are a lot of dysfunctional families. And I've heard children say, "I didn't ask to be born." And that's true.
Yeah.
A child doesn't ask to be born. But when you're born again, this is a choice that we make as children.
Yes, definitely. It's a choice. You have to decide, do you want to continue to live in this world of sin in Satan's prison house, or do I want to be able to escape it?
Okay. So this is a choice. So Nicodemus here, in spite of the opposition that he would get, he did it at night, but he was making a choice. He wanted to know.
Right.
He wanted to know Jesus. He wanted to get close to him and find out, what do I do? How do I get to this point?
Right.
So that's what we want to talk about a little bit here today. How do we get to this point?
Well, you know, if we continue on in John 3, we come to probably the most famous verses in the Bible. And let me read John 3:16 through 21.
Okay.
And help us understand about this being born again, how we're born again. It's through the Son of God, Jesus Christ. What it says in John 3:16, modern King James, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Here's the promise of everlasting life. Whoever believes in Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. Verse 17, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world." This is important. People sometimes have this false understanding of who God is. like this vengeful God trying to destroy you. It says here, God didn't send his son, Jesus Christ, in the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him.
Amen.
Verse 18, he who believes on him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Now, we remember we looked at Isaiah chapter 42. It talked about Jesus, God's servant, came to bring light to those in darkness, to free the prisoners out of the prison house. And this is what Jesus Christ can do in my life and in your life. Verse 20, for everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds be exposed. But he who practices truth comes to the light, so that his works may be revealed, that they exist, having been worked in God. So Nicodemus was coming to the light. Jesus is portrayed as a light of the world in the Bible. And so Jesus was this light that Nicodemus was attracted to.
Yeah. And he comes at night because he was afraid of the Jews, but it's amazing. He comes to Jesus at night. He comes to the light at nighttime.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's look at this a little bit more. Let's go to Romans chapter 6.
All right.
And it talks about escaping the prison house here.
Okay.
How do I escape? I'm going to read a few verses here, starting in verse 1. Romans 6, 1. This, again, in this modern King James. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin so that grace may abound? Remember, Romans 5 talks about, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Right.
So do we continue in sin because we have this grace from God, this this what some people call unmerited favor, but it's more than that. It's God's influence on our hearts and mind resulting in a changed life. Shall we continue in sin so that grace may abound? Let it not be. How shall we who die to sin live any longer in it? Do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him by baptism to death, so that as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life, being born again.
Wow.
For if we have been joined together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, in order that the body of sin might be destroyed, that from now on we should not serve sin. This is freedom from that prison house of Satan. This is how you escape it.
Right.
Through the Son of God, Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. And so, as Christ, just as Christ was died on the cross, baptism is being buried into death with Christ, being raised up into a new life, dying to that old man, that old way of living life, that old life of sin, and rising up into a new life in Christ Jesus, a life that is obedient to God, that glorifies God and his Son.
So what we're talking about here, the devil wants to keep you locked down.
Yes.
Jesus comes to set us free.
Yep.
And to set us free not only from the claw or the grip of Satan, but to set us free from sin.
Yes.
So that we don't even think about sinning. If we truly can have Christ in us, he can get us to the point to where we won't think about sinning. And I know that's hard for people to...
Well, it doesn't mean that Satan's not going to tempt you.
Right.
It's what you do with that temptation.
Absolutely. When tempted, how do you respond to it?
Right. So verse 7 of Romans 6. For he who died has been justified from sin. We're justified by the blood of Jesus. That blood reconciles us to the Father and makes us acceptable to the Father, where we can have this relationship. Verse 8. But if we died with Christ, we believe we shall also live with him, knowing that when Christ was raised from the dead, he dies no more, and death no longer has dominion over him. For in that he died to sin once, but in that he lives to God. Likewise, count yourself also to be truly dead to sin, but alive to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey its lust. Do not yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but yield yourself to God as one alive from the dead, and your members as instrument of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under law, but under grace. It was the grace of God giving us his Son to die on the cross. It's the grace of God that gives us the Spirit of his Son to live in our hearts, to overcome sin in our lives. And of course, sin is simply transgression of God's law, being disobedient to God.
That's how the Bible defines sin.
Right. It's not complicated.
No, it isn't. It really isn't. So, you know, as you were talking about this and reading those verses, it reminded me of a text, and I think it's one that we're all familiar with because it quotes from the Psalms. It's Ephesians chapter 4.
Okay.
And in if I start in verse 7, it says, "But to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive
that
and gave gifts to
them." Freedom from Satan's prison house.
Yes. He led captivity captive. In other words, he took captivity away.
Right.
And yeah. And that's quoting from the Psalms.
Yeah, I love that verse.
Yeah. So where do we go from here, Ed? So we're talking about this choice that we make. I've asked you on a number of occasions, and I never get tired of hearing it. There was a point in your life where you've always walked the Christian life, but there was a point where you realized, hey, you know what? My church isn't teaching things quite right.
Right.
There was a prayer that you prayed.
Sure. You know, I pray it. I try to pray it, remember to pray it every time I'm with anybody opening God's Word. And this prayer is, I wanted to know what truth was. I wanted to know what the Bible actually said. I was tired of the game of proving others wrong and myself right, or proving my church right and other churches wrong. Mm. I just simply wanted to know what the Bible said. So this is what I prayed. I prayed that God would give me wisdom and knowledge to understand his word. And that's a promise that you can find in James chapter 1, the beginning of the chapter. And James says he'll give it to you liberally. Hmm. You know? So that's part of my prayer. The other parts of my prayer are in John 16, where Jesus says, I will send the Spirit of truth to guide you into all truth. And I wanted all the truth. I didn't want men's philosophy, men's wisdom, and most of the world, I hate to say it, most of the Christian world is stuck in their own philosophy and their own wisdom.
I've been there.
And not looking towards the Word of God simply to find truth. They get an idea in their head, I'm going to prove this, I know it's right, and you can study that with them, and the only thing they can see is what they think is right, and they can't see the rest of the words on the page. I don't want to be like that anymore. I want to know what God's word said, so I prayed that prayer. The other prayer I prayed was, Father, don't let me be deceived. Mm-hmm. Don't let me deceive myself. Don't let others deceive me. Simply let me see the truth in your word, comparing scripture to scripture, being honest, rightfully dividing the word of truth, being honest about what it says, even though it may say something different than what I believe, different than what I've taught, different than I've even preached. I just wanted to know the truth of God's word. And I find it's extremely rare thing in this world today to find anybody else that simply wants to know what God's word says, being willing to give up their wisdom, their ideas, their philosophy, their doctrine, and submit to what God's word says.
So this is a really good place to start, with prayer, praying to God. And that takes faith.
I had to make a choice.
Yeah.
When I started seeing what God's word really said and compare it to what my church that has the truth quotes, you know, and I saw there was differences. I had to make a choice. Do I believe God answered my prayer? Because part of the promise in James 1 is God will give you wisdom and knowledge liberally, but you've got to accept it. Don't be wishy-washy about it. If you don't have faith, that's what he's doing. He's not going to continue to give you knowledge.
That's very true. So really, part of this prison house, if you think about it, I know I was locked into what my church taught.
Right. And we have different church backgrounds.
We do. But I was locked in. I thought you had the truth right. In your church. I thought I had the truth in my church. And the problem was there was error being taught in each one of the denominations.
Right.
And we were stuck. You know, Satan will get you in a prison house. And you might think, well, how can a church be a prison house?
When they teach falsehood.
What do they teach? Yeah. That's it. And do you... I don't know why this is. You know, we talked about baptism a few weeks ago, but churches want to baptize you into their church, right. Into their denomination. Well, now you are a member of this or that church or whatever denomination you are.
And you need to be a member in good standing.
That's,
which means
that's right.
You follow the church.
That's it. Instead of being baptized into Christ Jesus, they even use a false formula to baptize many mm-hmm. times. So all of these things are ways, and really subtle ways, and they look like good ways mm-hmm. that Satan uses to get people into his prison house. He makes things look attractive. I love the fellowship that we have, and that I had in my old church, mm-hmm. and I'm sure you love the fellowship you had in your old church.
You know, many of these churches do some very good things.
Sure.
They help people in their time of need, in disasters, or
absolutely.
Food, clothing, and shelter. They do many good things.
And there are some just loving and kind people that are going there that are sincere.
Yeah.
But what it comes down to when questioned many times, now it's time for me to defend my church instead of defend God's word.
Yeah.
And the only way out of the prison house is we have to let the church, that's just where we meet. We have to let the church does what the church does, but our relationship with Jesus is individual.
Your relationship with Jesus is the key to escape the prison house of Satan.
That's it. That's the only way you'll get out. And there are subtle ways that the devil pulls you in and pulls us. I mean, Ed, we're bombarded daily with radio ads, with commercialism, with people that don't want to worship God, with frustration because of I'm standing in the supermarket and it says 10 items or less and that lady's got 40 items in her basket.
Yeah. Yeah.
These are ways that the devil can just kind of toy with us.
Kick up your emotions,
yeah.
Kick up your anger, your judgment, hate, whatever. Yeah.
And it's difficult in this world mm-hmm. to really, truly be free from that prison mm-hmm. house. So maybe we can talk about ways that can help us to overcome those things, to get past those regular human emotions that, because of my sin, I can't seem to get away from. You know, I don't know if we've talked about this so many times, but it's so important that people understand that there is a way out.
Right. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1.
Colossians 1.
And why don't we just read the whole chapter?
Okay. Yeah, this is a good chapter. Did you want to split it up or did you want...
Yeah, I'll start by reading from the Modern King James, just verse 1.
Okay.
Colossians 1:1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren of Christ at Colossae, Class A. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is Paul and Timothy writing to the church of the Colossians. And they greet them in the grace and peace of God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, two separate beings.
Mm-hmm.
We give thanks to God and the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Paul uses this expression in Ephesians chapter 1. Peter uses it in 1 Peter chapter 1. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus has a Father and a God, and that's the same person, Jehovah,
yes.
Yahweh, Jehovah, whatever name you use for the God of the universe.
Right.
Verse 4, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you've heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. So the gospel is part of the formula, the answer, the way out of the prison house of Satan.
Yes.
And Paul's ministry is preaching the gospel. Verse 6, which has come to you as it has also into all the world, and it's bearing fruit, even also among you, since the day you heard and fully knew the grace of God and truth. Even as you learned from Epaphras, our fellow beloved fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ for you, he also has showing your love in the Spirit to us. For this cause we also, since the day we heard, do not cease to pray for you. Okay, here's one of the keys for escaping.
You were talking about that just a little bit ago.
Yeah, is prayer.
Prayer, yeah.
Praying to God, praying for each other, praying for someone who's struggling with something in their life.
Sure.
Pray for them. Pray for yourself if you're struggling. Ask others to pray for you. This is one of the key things in the Christian walk is prayer. Okay, again in verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Kind of like the prayer we prayed before we started today.
Yeah, that's right.
That you might walk worthy of the Lord to all pleasing, being fruitful in every work and increasing in the knowledge of God.
Mm.
Doing things worthy of the Lord to all pleasing, being fruitful in every work, having the fruit of the Spirit. And we'll talk about that in a little bit.
Okay.
We might walk worthy. How we might walk is how do you live your life?
Right.
Do you live your life according to being a servant of God or a servant of sin or a slave of God or slave to sin? Who do you serve? Who do you obey?
We've all made decisions. We've all had decisions to make where we know what's right or what's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Which choice do we make? That's the key. It's choosing. We have to choose
right
according to God's will and not our own.
Verse 11. Being empowered with all power, according to the might of his glory, to all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. And we'll talk about being empowered here towards the end of the chapter, how that occurs.
Okay.
Verse 12, giving thanks to the Father, who has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Remember, we've been talking about light.
Yeah.
Jesus is the light of the world. We talked about John 3, 16 through 20,
right,
about those that hate light and love darkness, that they hide from the light of the world, which is Jesus Christ.
Hmm.
Verse 13, for he has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the remission of sins. Who is the power of darkness? Who keeps you in darkness in his prison house? That's Satan.
Yeah.
And God has delivered us from this power of darkness through his Son, Jesus Christ, into the kingdom of his dear Son. by the redemption that we experience, the remission of sins because of the blood of Jesus shed on Calvary. So let's continue in verse 15.
We need to remember too, Ed, before we go, is that Christ died for us while we were still sinners.
Yes.
So many times we think, well, I have to qualify in order for
Christ. Or am I good enough?
None of us are good enough. We're not worthy.
No.
But he died for us while we were yet sinners. But we can have a relationship with him, and that's what we're talking about here.
That's part of this escaping the prison house. Jesus died for us when we were prisoners.
Yes.
When we were enemies, when we were sinners, ungodly, whatever term you want to use, that's when he died for us. That's when the offer of salvation occurs.
Right.
Even when we're enemies, when we're sinners, that's God's love for us.
So the key is being transformed from enemies to sons of God.
Right.
And that's what this is helping us to appreciate.
So in verse 15, it's talking about Jesus, who's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. This term firstborn refers just to a status as the only begotten Son of God.
Amen.
It doesn't have anything to do with Christ being a creation. He's the firstborn of all creation, given his rightful status as the firstborn of the Father, the only begotten Son. He was involved in creation. God created everything through his Son, Jesus Christ, that we find in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3.
And John 1, 3 says, without him, that's without Christ, nothing was made that was made.
Well, verse 16, for all things were created in him, the things in the heavens and the things on earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him.
Amen.
This is the status of the Son of God, his rightful place in participation of the creation of his Father, the creation of God. Verse 17, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that he may be preeminent in all things. So again, this idea of Jesus being firstborn from the dead. Again, he's the only begotten Son of the God who died, shed his blood on the cross, and his Father, God, raised him from the dead. That's what this is referring
yes.
to. For it pleased the Father, verse 19, that in him all fullness should dwell. And through him, through Jesus, having been made peace through the blood of his cross, it pleased the Father to reconcile all things to himself through him, whether the things on earth or the things in heaven. Again, going back to Romans 5, verse 10, that we're reconciled to God through the death of his Son.
Mm.
But we're saved by his life.
Life.
Verse 21 of Colossians 1. And you, who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and without blemish and without charge in his sight. This is the love of God, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died on the cross. He shed his blood for my sins and your sins, for remission of sins, for forgiveness of sins, so that we can be presented to God holy and without blemish and without charge in his sight.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah. But it's conditional. Look at verse 23.
Mm.
If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard and which was proclaimed in all the creation under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister.
The first word in that verse.
If.
If. Mine says, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away to the hope of the gospel, or moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you heard. And so when I see this, we have a choice to make.
You know, we can escape this prison house through the death of Jesus Christ, but we also need to keep from being put back in prison.
So true. And the other thing is this. Christ doesn't force us to do this. Otherwise, he would have a prison house also.
Right.
Satan is the is a false god. He presents himself as a god. He wants to be worshipped. So he wants to take you captive and hold you there.
He, you know, Jesus says that Satan is the father of all lies. Mm-hmm. He's a liar. And the one who invented lying.
Yeah.
And so he tells you, oh, this is freedom. His prison house, he tells people, this is freedom. It's not. He's putting you in prison, and he's going to keep you there, addicted to whatever sin that he has hold of you with, whatever false promises the world is preaching. Oh, you know, all the things the world offers, all the lust of the flesh, the all the sins of walking in the flesh that we'll eventually get to.
That in this world, they, you know, Satan makes these things appealing.
Yes.
And, you know, I think we'd be lying if we said that while sin is a detestable thing, Satan tries to make it pleasurable.
Sure.
And we'd be lying if we said, well, some sins aren't pleasurable. Well,
no, it is for a moment.
It's all temporary. That's exactly right.
Then what?
Yeah.
There's consequences on this earth.
Absolutely.
As well as eternal consequences. And so this is the falsehood that Satan presents the world, to try to keep you in the prison or to get you back into the prison.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's not.
Oh, the good
up.
Old days.
Right. You know? I've had people say that.
Yeah. All right. Can you continue in verse 24?
Sure. Right, and just stop me wherever you want me to stop.
All right.
It says, I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, and was given to me, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. The mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily.
So here's the second half of the gospel story, being saved by the life of Christ. You know, we have this reconciliation because of the death of Son. We're justified because of the blood of Jesus Christ shed on the cross, that we can now have this relationship with God, the Father of Christ. But how do I maintain that? It's through Christ living in me, being born again and having the life of Christ living in me to enable me, to empower me, to live life according to the way God wants us to live life.
That's so important, that we live life according to what God says. You said something when we hit verse 23 and we looked at it again, because it begins with the word, if indeed you continue in the faith, and you said it's conditional.
Yeah. This is the if part. This is how you continue grounded and settled in the faith. It's by having the Spirit of Christ living in you.
Yes. He's already justified us. So the key now is sanctification. I need to accept what he's going to do, what he can do, what he will do in my life.
Right.
And again, I can't state this enough, especially coming from the church that I grew up in. You're talking about this prison house of Satan that he holds us in. Well, Satan takes your choice, and he just grasps you, and he tries to hold on to you. Jesus doesn't do that. He says, here I am. You can receive what I have to offer. It's your choice.
Right.
The choice is yours. You can stay captive and think you're happy, or you can be released from that and have happiness for eternity.
Right.
True happiness, not just what's on the surface and temporary.
You know, Paul talks about this in Galatians chapter 2.
Okay.
And I'm going to read just verse 20, because it really kind of surmises what we've been talking about.
All right.
This is the modern, actually, I want to read it from the King James. Let me turn to the King James.
Okay.
Because the modern King James changes things. Verse 20 of Galatians 2. I am crucified with Christ. We've talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
Mm.
Christ in me, the hope of the glory, the mystery that was hid through the ages but has been revealed to the saints, which is Christ in me, the hope of glory.
And, you know, just so people know, you read that from the King James, because even in the New King James, it changes a word that really changes the whole meaning of the text.
It talks about the faith of the Son of God, the faith of Jesus Christ's faith. His faith was in his Father. His faith was being obedient. He came to do the will of the Father. The psalm says, I will put my trust in you. And so because of that faith, the faith of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane saying, not my will, but your will be done.
Mm.
The faith of Jesus on the cross saying, talking to his Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And then he gave up the ghost. He died.
Right.
This is the faith of Jesus. And Paul is saying, I'm crucified to Christ, nevertheless I live, but not I, yet Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. That same trust, that same faith in God and in his Son, Jesus Christ. And so, you know, this is key to being born again, to living a new life. God doesn't force you to do these things. This is happens to people that want this change,
right?
That see the love that God and his Son, Jesus Christ, have for them in this great gift of salvation, and they want to have a closer relationship. They want to get out of the prison house of Satan. They want to live a new life in Christ Jesus.
Hmm. And the key, I think, to beginning this process is what we talked about right from the beginning of this study, and that is prayer. We need to pray to God. And we need to be in a word, in his word, the Bible. We need to read it. This is the only way that we can. Ed, you learn these verses not from your church.
No.
Not from being part of this ministry, Prophecies of Hope.
No.
You learn this from what?
From Bible study, from reading God's Word.
Reading God's Word.
Beginning by reading, seeing the words on the page, and then studying them, gathering all the information you can throughout the whole of the Bible. You know, you may see something new in the Bible you've never seen before. Wow, I've never seen that before. I've read these verses lots of times before. Keep studying what you just saw.
Right.
You know, prove it to yourself that what you're seeing, it really says, by finding other portions of the Bible that contribute to that understanding, or maybe say it, the same thing. And so it takes study. It takes...
It's effort. Effort is involved.
You know, unless you have a desire to know the truth of God's Word, you're probably not going to do this.
Very true.
Unless you have a desire to accept the gift that God's given you, the Son, his Son, you're probably not going to want to do this. And so it depends what are your priorities.
Mm.
What's important to you? What's of value to you in this life? The things of this world you'll find will fade away. What you thought was once valuable in your life, maybe the sin that Satan held you in your prison house, is no longer valuable. You see its true cost, the cost of not only what you experience in this life, but for eternity.
Mm.
This doesn't happen because, okay, someone says, I need to do this in order to get to heaven. So, yeah, I got to do it.
I know.
You know, this happens to people that want these things, that love God and His Son, because God has loved us first, in spite of this horrible condition that we may find ourselves in.
And once you've received that, just some of the benefits, you know, we haven't received full benefits yet.
No.
There's a lot to come that God wants to give us. But once you've received a little bit of it, it's hard to keep quiet. It's hard to not want to share this with other people so they can have the same thing. In this world, we need this.
You know, I need this every day in my life. I need Christ in my life daily. Because, let's face it, the world's not getting any better. And we live in this world. We have to confront the evil in this world. We have to confront the temptations that Satan sends to us, and we may still need to get some things out of our hearts and minds, out of our lives that we're doing that we shouldn't be doing.
Yeah.
And so it's a continuous process. It's a growing relationship, being born again, learning how to live according to God's word again versus the ways of Satan.
And it's not just the things that you act upon. It's getting the desire out of your heart.
Right.
In other words, remember Jesus said that it's not just the act of adultery that can condemn you. It's if you look at a woman to have lust for her.
Well, that's where adultery begins.
It begins. All sin begins where?
In your heart and
in
your
mind. Yeah. That's where it began with Lucifer.
And Satan will bring these thoughts into your head and just, you know, use the name of Jesus, make them go away.
Right.
Don't dwell on them. It's a temptation. You don't have to act on it. You can, the Bible talks about, think about the things that are whatever, pure, true, lovely, you know, those things. Replace what Satan is trying to put in your mind with these things that are good, lovely, you know, those things.
The problem is, Ed, that I want to do that. I want to put those things behind me, but sometimes the sin is so desirable, I really, in my heart, I might not really want to. My mind says, I know I shouldn't do this, but I want to do the sin anyway.
Pray about it. Ask God to give you victory.
And that's the thing, too. Sometimes people, include I'm talking about, when I say people, me, sometimes I'm thinking, I like doing this, but I don't know if I want to pray about it because I want to do this. See, so we have to get to that point to where, do I want to do my will or God's will?
Right, exactly.
And that's, it's amazing how in all of my life I thought I could never get to that point. I'll never get to the point where I want to do God's will over mine. I'll never get to the point where I can overcome this particular problem. But it's amazing how ask and you will receive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe when you're not in that temptation position, ask God, help me to overcome that temptation. Don't put me in that, don't allow me to be in that place anymore.
You know, Daniel, in Daniel chapter 1, he purposed in his heart that he was going to honor God. Before temptation came, he purposed in his heart that he honored God. Decide ahead of time. Decide that I'm going to honor God. Pray about that. Focus on that in your life. Strive to do that with small things as well as large things in your life. And when those times come, you'll be prepared for that temptation.
Yes. He who is faithful in little is faithful in much.
Right.
So if you can get those small things, if you're paying attention to the details, then when the big temptations come up, it's not going to be near the problem that it would be otherwise.
If you think you can live your life in sin and the ways of the world and partying and the lust of the flesh and you know, all the things that go with lying and stealing and immoral lifestyle, and you're going to be able to flip a switch and all of a sudden you're going to be faithful to God, It's just not going to happen.
You know, here's Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 6. And this is what we have to remind ourselves of, because really it comes down to, who do we serve?
Yeah.
That's really what it comes down to. And Jesus says here in Matthew chapter 6, he says, verse 24, no one can serve two masters, For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon is riches.
Mm-hmm.
And that would go for anything. You can't serve God and serve yourself, because we're selfish. We naturally want to sin. So it's, go ahead.
You know, in this life, Satan, especially in the day we're living in, Satan just ramps up the emotions of everyone.
Mm.
All this conflict and political divide and polarization of the world causes these emotions to well up within us. This isn't right.
Oh, it gets to me
and
sometimes.
And it gets you angry and mad. This is Satan trying to work on your heart and mind. You know, pray about it. Give it to God. Realize that God is in control. His purposes will be fulfilled in this world. He sets up kings and kingdoms, and he takes away their power and gives them power. You know, God is bringing this world to a place where Jesus is going to come again.
Absolutely. And he's bringing us to a place where we're going to have to make a decision. We're going to have to make a choice. Who do we serve?
Right.
And each individual, again, Ed, I don't know how often we say this, but I can't save you. You can't save me.
I can't save myself.
That's right. Prophecies of Hope can't save me. Our church can't save us. So many times we equate, well, I'm okay because I'm going to church. I'm in this church every weekend,
right.
Or I go to the midweek study, or, you know, I opened my Bible. It's the relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what saves you, knowing God and his Son.
Again, I brought this up before, this song that really, the words of it impacted my life. Mm-hmm. It's called The Change. I believe it's by Stevens Curtis Chapman. He talks about, I've got this Bible that I carry underneath my arm with me. I have this necklace with a cross on it. I have this bracelet on my wrist that says, what would Jesus do?
Mm.
But what about the change? What about the difference that Jesus makes in your life?
Yeah.
You know, that change has to begin in my heart and mind. Otherwise, I'll never be following Jesus. I'll never be walking his walk. I'll never be obedient to God.
It always bothers me when I see some entertainer, or anybody for that matter, wearing a cross. And then you hear the language that comes out of their mouth, or you hear the songs that they're writing, or the movies that they're portrayed in, and that they're portraying different people. And, well, it's just acting. Well, wait a minute.
What is it teaching you?
That's the point. You have to go through those motions. If you're pretending to do evil, you're thinking about it. It's no different than what Jesus said. It's what's in your mind and in your heart. If I have to portray evil, why would I even want to do that?
You know, I don't know that people understand that part of being born again is controlling what you take into your heart and your mind and your eyes and your ears,
your mouth. Yeah.
Will affect your ability to follow Jesus and to be obedient to God. And I don't know why the world, even the Christian world, has a problem with being obedient to God.
It's so true.
I don't understand that. God's commandments are for our benefit. They're given to us out of love to make our lives better if we'd only follow them.
Yeah, we've talked about that a number of times, how much better the world would be just by keeping the commandments.
Don't commit adultery.
Yeah.
Don't you see the results of people that do that? Maybe you haven't experienced it yourself.
Mm.
The devastation of relationships, of children that may be involved, the hate and the anger. And
it can lead to killing.
Yes.
It's just, it's amazing the difference that it makes in your life when you recognize God's commandments and you just follow them.
Yeah.
You just follow them. This is what Jesus did. He came and showed us how we could do that. And I hear people all the time, even non-Christians, that say, you know, if we lived like Jesus, if we taught people like Jesus, the world would be a better place. I've heard non-Christian people say that.
That's the point of the gospel.
That is the gospel. And allow him to work in your life.
Right.
And if people that aren't Christian can see that, what benefit, how much more should we be benefiting from it, having a relationship with Christ? And then and them seeing the difference that it can make in our lives, maybe they'll take that step and say, you know, this Jesus, this guy, he had it going on. He knew what he was doing. Maybe I should look into that.
Right.
And it's amazing the difference that it can make in your life. Ed, we have about a minute. Are there any closing thoughts or any verses you'd like to share just to kind of wrap this up? You know, talking about escaping, making the change in our life.
If you want to escape Satan's prison, if you want to be born again and have Christ live in your hearts, just pray a simple prayer. Just say, you know, Father, I know I'm a sinner, but I claim the blood of Jesus Christ for forgiveness of my sins. And Father, send Jesus into my hearts that can help me live a new life, a life that's acceptable to you. And Father, I can't do it on my own. Please help me with this. Pray in the name of Jesus. There's power in that name.
Amen. There truly is. And what great advice. What a nice study this is, because it does help us realize how we can get freed from the grip that the devil has on us. And there is freedom in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
The commandments are not burdensome.
Right.
They are not. And Jesus came to teach them to us and help us to be able to overcome sin in this world by having his Spirit dwelling us, because he brings us the Father's Spirit as well.
Jesus has the experience. He was tempted in all ways like we are, yet without sin. Mm-hmm. He knows how to rescue us in our time of need.
So I hope this study benefits everybody that's tuned in. And we're out of time, and we have to pray. So let's have a closing word of prayer. Father in heaven, as we just studied, I just pray for each person that's listening that they can make the choice to allow Jesus to come into their hearts, that they will choose to leave behind the ways of this world, and that they will come to you in Jesus' name and just ask for you to make a difference in their life. Please show them how these things can make such a huge difference, an eternal difference. And Father, we just ask that you will bless us until we come together again. Thank you for this time we've had together. Thank you for your word, the Bible. Father, thank you for the gift of life that you've given us in your Son, Christ Jesus. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Ed, thanks again for this study. It was a blessing. And friends, we hope you'll tune in again here next Sunday, 7 p.m., right here on New Visions Radio. And until next time, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.